Linus is right. That's what Christmas is all about. If you don't have the Christ in the middle of the lights and the packages and the presents, you don't have Christmas. Christmas is about a child in a manger, a sign that was given to us. 50 years ago, they made that movie. Mr. Schultz fought to get the scripture kept in it. And it's been playing all these years. And this is the 50th anniversary. I didn't think anybody could say it better than Linus could say it. And you know, I found out something. I've seen that I don't know how many times. When you watch it the next time, when he says, "Fear not," he does something. He drops his security blanket. Leaves it on the floor until he gets back to go out and see Charlie Brown. Friend, if you're going to follow the Christ in fear not, you got to turn loose of your other security and give your life unto Christ. The two verses of Scripture I want you to see with me very quickly tonight. And I want to talk about one word for just a few moments on this Christmas Eve before we light our candles and sing Silent Night together as we come and join our spirits. There's a little word. This shall be a sign, a sign. The Greek word is simeon. That word sign, sometimes it just means a thing. Sometimes it means the power and the presence of God. Other times simeon means a miracle. Isaiah said it, and then Luke recorded it. Look at these two verses. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, read it out loud with me. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And then right out of Linus's quotation in Luke's gospel chapter 2 and verse 12, read this with me. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. This shall be a sign to you. Behold, a virgin will have a child. You call him Emmanuel. This will be a sign, a simeon unto you. When Jesus was born, it signified some things. It gave us a picture. It signed for us three simple truths. Let's look at them tonight. Number one, it is a sign of joy. There will be to you good news of a great joy. Joy. Now, I know who's in this room. We don't all have joy when we come to Christmas. There are three things that will crush us at Christmas. The same thing that crushed Mary and Joseph. One was debt. Some of you come with real financial issue and it's hard to have joy because of the crush financially of debt. Why were they in Bethlehem? They had gone for the census to be taxed. Debt was around their neck. Secondly, is death. Death. Some of you sit in this room and it is Christmas for the first time without someone. Death is tough at Christmas. You may have seen it. I posted it yesterday. I had a funeral yesterday for an 87-year-old Korean War vet. Went out and they had the military honors. And as I was leaving the cemetery, I was walking out and I saw a lady and a young girl and they had a little Christmas tree. And I thought, I don't know what that means, but there's something here this preacher needs to get into. And I just stopped them. I didn't know them. And I said, "Can you tell me your story?" They said, "Yeah, we're just bringing a little Christmas tree to our 5-year-old child that died in October. This is our first Christmas without our child." Let me tell you, when I got back in my car, I didn't have any problems. Everything that ever bothered me, it went right out the window. And I just hugged those two girls and tried to say, "Man, I just bless you in Jesus' name. But some of you walk in here with death, and it steals your joy. It's hard. But thirdly, some of you walk in here, you see, Jesus' day, they were killing every baby 2 years of age and younger, trying to snuff out the Messiah. There was death everywhere. Children. Herod was having it done. Debt. Death. Divorce. Christmas is one of the hardest times of the year because of divorce. When Joseph heard that Mary was pregnant and they were not married, the Bible says he chose not to put her away. He could have dissolved the relationship. And I'm telling you, there was division of dissolving marriages all around them. There was divorce. And divorce is tough at Christmas. It's really tough when there are little children involved. As a matter of fact, I talked to one family this week that said, my kids are going through a divorce. And there's two children. And he said to me, it is like Chinese water torture. Because my grandchildren are pulled from me. Some of you battle that. Divorce, death, debt. But there's a sign. You know, there's nothing brings joy like babies, amen? There's just something about babies that light you up. I've saw them coming in out here tonight. And, of course, Liz and I are the age now we watch other people make foolish gestures. And some just make a fool of themselves, amen? Tonight, I'm wearing a brand new set of cufflinks. Catherine's picture's on this one. And Elizabeth's picture is on this one. I had a lady maid that gave them to me for Christmas. I said, I can't wait for Christmas Eve. I'm going to put those puppies on. I got them on there. There's nothing like it. It brings great joy. Amen? And I'm telling you, when Jesus came, he came to give you joy. Even in your debt and your death and in the midst of divorce, the Christ brings joy. It's a sign unto you. You'll find good news of great joy. Leonard Ravenhill said, the satanic replacement for joy is entertainment. And boy, if America's not full of that. Entertainment is not joy. Jesus brings a deep joy. This shall be a sign unto you. This child, babies bring joy. Secondly, though, there is in the manger a sign of love. Of love. Amen. Boy, the babies bring out love, don't they? You kiss their cheeks and you hug them up close. I mean, babies... It'll make an old man love. My daddy will be in the second service at 6 o'clock. He's 90. He'll be 91 for long. He and Mom drove down yesterday, and when he sees these two, it's amazing. This old fella that just kind of gets around, he said, let me hold that baby. I said, well, you're going to break her, you know? I mean, what... Oh, no, let me have her. Man, he holds her. There's something about love in the face of a baby. When Jesus came, it was joy. But I'm telling you, it was the greatest love the world has ever known. Friend, I got news for you. I got news. All of you that are in here tonight, some of you think, I'm kind of tough. God loves you. And he sent his son. I want you just to see what he did. Listen to the word of God in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Just hear the word of the Lord. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not require equality with God, regard equality with God, a thing to be grasped or held on to. But he emptied himself taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Friend, Jesus loves you and he died for you. You know, if he was trying to preach to cows, Jesus would have come a bovine. If he is trying to speak to rocks, he'd become a rock. But I'm telling you, he was loving you, so he became one of us. And he loves us. And he went to the cross just for you. The sign, oh, that baby is a sign of joy. It's a sign of love. But now watch this. This is really not what a manger looks like. It's what we use. A manger in the first century was a rock that had been hewn out. Most of the time not made of wood. They'd take a piece of rock and they'd dip out that rock and cut it out, and it became a manger where cattle eat out of it. But we use this picture. And I'm telling you, the sign of the manger is not just joy and it's not just love. The sign of the manger, don't miss this, look right here at me now, look, watch this, is availability. Availability. You said, preacher, what's that mean? The manger was available to anyone. Jesus wasn't born in a palace because just certain people get in the palace. Jesus was not born in the king's quarters because not everybody could get to the king. He was born out back in a stable in a manger because everyone can get to the manger. Availability. I mean, when your own grandchildren are born, those babies, when those, and man, they're just great when babies come. It's just wonderful. There's just something about a baby. You know, when your own grandchildren are born, you can't even get in to see them until they give you a code. You got to have a number to get in. Well, I got to tell you, I have cheated. I have a pastoral pass that gets me in some hospital doors. Matter of fact, our deacon chairman was sitting, he's right here, and his wife. When their first grandbaby was born, they had some physical issues, and I went up, and they couldn't get in. And I came out and saw them. They said, where you been? I said, I've been in the back holding the baby. They said, you've been doing what? They had not even held a child yet. And I'd been back there with great anointed pastoral privilege. Not knowing what I'd done, but I did. You can't even get in. But let me tell you, friend, anyone could get to the manger. Tonight you can get to the manger. You see, Jesus came to love you. He came to die for you. Behold, this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's his three titles, Savior, Christ, Lord. And he died for you. He arose for you, and he's available to you. If you had but call on his name, he'd save you tonight. He'd do a work in you. Now I'm just going to sit down right here and I want to have a little talk with you before we sing this last song here in a minute. Now just look right here. Let's just chat for a minute. It's just me and you, all right? It's Christmas. I want to ask you a question. Are you a Christ follower? It's Christmas. I mean, it's his birthday tomorrow. Are you an admirer or are you a follower? Are you a saved man or woman? Young college student, young person, have you ever asked Jesus to come in your life and save you? We're going to have a second service and I'm going home and have my annual pizza dinner. Do it every Christmas Eve. And I always think, what are we going to do? Well, here's what we're going to do at the trailer's house tonight around the table before we slice the homemade pizza. We're going to go around the table, and everybody's going to give their testimony. I got, when, Dad, when did you get, say, I want to hear it again. Mom, my wife. We'll walk all around that table. Now, I'm doing that for two reasons. Everybody needs to know of a place and a time when they ask the Lord to save them. And everybody needs to make it known. And little children need to hear that. They need to know that their mama and their daddy and that their papa and their grandmother and their pawpaw and their grandma has got a testimony. Do you have one tonight? If you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, I want to help you tonight. I want to ask you to pray a prayer with me. If you're ready to be saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me in just a moment. You may say, Pastor, I believe I'm a Christian, but I'm a long way from. Then just pray this prayer with me too, and let's make it a recommitment time of your life unto the Lord tonight. Deal? Let's bow our heads before heaven just now. If you're ready to trust Him and be saved, pray these words with me. Father, thank you for loving me. I need you. I confess I'm a sinner. And I ask you to come into my life, forgive my sin, and make me a Christian. I pledge to follow you, and I'll go where you want me to go as you give me strength. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, there's a card there in front of you. It's stuck right by a blue hymn book. If you're here tonight and you've prayed that prayer with the pastor, I want you to take that card out. I want you to fill it out. And there's a black box. You can see that one right up there. There's one at every exit when you leave. I want you just to stick that card in that black box. You say, Preacher, I'm already saved, but I did pray with you, and I'm just getting up to date with the Lord on this Christmas. Just a time to start again. Fill that out. Write me a little note on there and drop it in that black box when you go by. Some of you are here and you live in this area and you've never joined a church. You say, I'd like to join this church. I'd like to be a part of Olive. Then fill that card out, mark that box. We'll give you a call. We're going to follow up with you. Just drop it in that box. I have people all the time, they go out of here and they drop other stuff in that box. That's okay. I've had people drop big money in that box. We'll take that. We've had people drop little money in that box. We'll take that. But I want you to find that card and fill it out tonight. Tell me, you've trusted Christ, you want to be part of the church. Maybe you've never been baptized and you want to talk to somebody about that. Just fill that card out and drop it in the box. It's one of the greatest songs around Christmas. It was on a silent night. You know, it really wasn't too quiet, was it? It really did get loud with angels trumpeting and sharing. My wife always reminds me, you know, Pastor, nowhere in the Bible does it say that angels sang. I said, what's it say? It says they heralded. I said, oh, then the issue is that angels are not singers, they're preachers. Amen. That's worth you coming tonight. They didn't sing, but boy, there was joyful noise as they proclaimed the Christ. And tonight, what I want us to do is keep that little true life card in your hand, your pocket, and be ready to give it away. Just like we're going to share the light with one another, I want you to give that light to somebody as you go from this place during this weekend. So the lights are coming down just now. John's going to begin to sing. I've got a candle I'm going to light and begin to share the light with people all around us. And we'll just let that light begin to move all across this auditorium. Let's sing unto the Lord, Brother John.